Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Work in Progress. I am so excited to have today's guest on the show. Now, I know I usually say this, but this time it's for real. I first learned about Liz Miller in a Hype Bay article where she was featured with her coworker Ashley talking through the creation of the Nike Cortez. I was so inspired by the article that I reached out to Liz and asked if she'd be open to chatting with me, and here we are today. So for anyone listening or watching this who is inspired by someone else's career or interest, reach out to them because you never know what could come of it. Liz Miller is currently a strategist at the program, a Portland-based ad agency that creates digital campaigns for companies like Nike, Red Bull, and Ledlenser, and also the Jordan brand. So thank you so much for coming on, Liz.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cool. I am so excited. So, since Work in Progress is all about the process, can you go into the journey from interning at Nike to now working as a strategist at the program and getting to directly work on campaigns for brands like Nike?
Yeah, so my Nike career actually started way back in retail. I used to work at the Nike employee store here in Beaverton. And I was there for a couple years, and within those couple years is when I was able to land some opportunities that were really considered internships with product creation in two different departments. One was footwear development, and one was focused more on data entry. Not super glamorous, but it still was a great way to learn and get my foot in the door. From there, after working at the store for a couple years, I was able to land a job in consumer services with the Nike store social media team. And on that team, I was part of the group that responds to people who tweet in to Nike store asking about products, asking about, you know, what's coming on the launch calendar, things like that. So it was a really good way, not only working retail, but also working consumer services, to have different experiences with the consumer. So with retail, I really had that face-to-face physical experience. And with consumer services, you really get to see what it's like from a digital lens, what the consumer is thinking, you know, what products they're attracted to, what they think about trends going on in the marketplace, everything like that. From that job, I became a digital specialist with the Nike Direct team, which encompasses everything from Nike.com to all the Nike stores in the U.S. And that is really where I started to learn about strategy, digital run of shows, really how products and brand stories are going to live in the marketplace. I was in that role for about 8 months. It was a contract role, so unfortunately my contract did end at a certain point, but luckily time was on my side, and I was able to find the program, had some interviews, and am now the strategist on the program Nike team.
Awesome. I think that's such an inspirational journey for a lot of people who might be working retail for a company like, I don't know, I think working retail and then thinking about going corporate at a company like Nike seems so like far apart or disconnected, but I think that's your journey really shows that it is possible. So what do you think was important or integral in your transition from role to role? Were you very transparent with your managers and showcasing the value that you brought in every role, or what do you feel like was really important to in order to take those next steps in your career from working retail to going corporate?
Yeah, so luckily my career journey has definitely been all about growth from one role to another. So, you know, going from Nike retail to consumer services, I got, you know, an understanding of really who the consumer was, again, on that face-to-face basis, being around them for 9 hours in a day, 40 hours a week, you really learn a lot, not only about the consumer, but you learn a lot about the brand. From there, going into consumer services, I already was familiar with who the consumer was and what the brand was about, and being able to use that knowledge then to speak to consumers on a different level was extremely beneficial. Once I became a digital specialist, I wasn't necessarily as connected with the consumer. However, the consumer knowledge that I gained from both my previous roles was extremely beneficial to that current role, as well as working with the Nike Store Twitter team. As a digital specialist, my main focus was Twitter, with all of the Nike stores around the nation. So whether it's Nike Portland, Nike DC, Nike LA, I think there are about 15 or 16 handles currently. So being able to use the knowledge that I gained in a social media role, going into a more advanced social media role, was, again, very beneficial to my progress. And then from there, using everything that I learned strategy-wise from the digital specialist role, going into a strategist position from an agency side, really, really helped put a foot in my career and really get it going.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I mean, I think it's cool that it sounds like you just were constantly learning, and I think that it sounds like you were very open in every opportunity that you were doing, because I know sometimes, like, we as people who, like, are always striving for that next, just really passionate about career development, it can be tough when you're in a position that might not fulfill you, or you're like, oh, I'm here, but I want to get there. And sometimes you get too lost in that you don't realize, like, everything that's right in front of you. So that's awesome to hear that you were able to really build upon your career based on every experience that you had, and you saw value in each and every part of that. So I saw that on your LinkedIn, you attended the Nike Shoe School. I have to ask what that was like.
Yeah, definitely. So that was, I was able to experience that through one of my Nike internships in product creation as a footwear developer. So as a developer, it's your job after the designer designs the shoe to figure out essentially what's the most cost-effective, sustainable, quality way to create this shoe that the designer has created on a piece of paper. So it's a lot about materials, it's a lot about construction, everything like that. And the best way to do that is to really learn how a shoe is made. So there's a building at Nike where they actually have everything that you need in order to create a shoe. And we spent a week learning about that entire process, to the point where at the end we were able to create our own shoe, which was really cool. They had us bring in an image that we really liked, and they were able to print it on the shoe. We were the ones who were stitching everything, lacing it up, gluing the sole on the shoe, and really seeing it come to life in your own hands. So it was a pretty remarkable experience. And just knowing about product creation now has really been beneficial for now being the person who helps to speak to that product story. Just kind of knowing the backstory of how it's made really helps bring that passion to life.
Yeah, of course. And it's pretty amazing now hearing, like, more into your career, because it totally makes sense. You've gotten, like, the experience from the consumer, and then through Nike Shoe School, you're able to get more experience with the product itself, which has ultimately led you to, like, create campaigns that can be most impactful when it comes to the product to the consumer. So could you take me through the creative process of creating a campaign for any brand?
Sure. So generally, a company will, let's say in my situation, come to us with a brief of what they're looking for. Now, that brief can either be very specific into what they would like to see from us, or it can be extremely broad. Sometimes those can be the fun ones, but they can also be the most challenging. Mm-hmm. So once we get the brief, essentially our team comes together and we figure out how we're going to tackle this. So let's say if it's a pretty basic, broad brief with not a lot of information, more just of an end goal, then we'll look at, you know, who the consumer is. If we don't feel like we're very familiar with who they are, then we spend some time doing research, figuring out how that research is best going to guide our strategy. Once we get to the strategy portion, we create our strategy process and how we're going to tackle this dilemma or, you know, this task that the client has come to us with. And then depending on what the project is from there, let's say if it's a content creation process. So either we have a photo shoot that we need to do, or we're designing a new website, whatever it is, then we move on to the content creation, which is then guided by the strategy that we put in place. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we either capture the content, create it with our designers, and then bring it all together and deliver it to the client. And then there generally are a few rounds of feedback back and forth, depending on the timelines too, that can make things challenging. Sometimes we'll have deadlines that are, 3 days, and sometimes we'll have some that are 2 months. It really just depends on the project, but that's one of the great things is that you really never know what you're going to get. So you're always on your toes and every day is a challenge and you just never know what to expect. And you're constantly learning, which is probably the best part about all of it.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. It sounds like, some days maybe the client really loves what you've been working on. Other days, maybe they have more feedback. But to kind of address feedback, I think that for a lot of creatives, young creatives, that can be a hurdle to overcome, realizing that feedback is actually useful and helpful rather than just being like initially hurt or like your ego being hurt. Was that something you had to overcome?
A couple of times, I think when you start, it is a bit of a challenge to find that balance of, if you come to the client, you have totally fleshed out your idea, you think it's perfect, you think it's exactly what they need, and then all of a sudden they come back and they're like, oh, that is not the direction we want to go. I think you missed the mark. Start over. Those can always be really challenging, but you really just have to remember, like, okay, they didn't like that one. This is an opportunity for me to make something even better, to challenge myself even more, knowing what I know from that first experience, what I learned. It also is a chance for the client to give you a little bit more direction to really guide you to where they want to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think that for me, receiving feedback at first, like, was initially hard, but then I kind of realized, like, if the fact that, well, I mean, it's different, I guess, in your career because it is like a business to business transaction. But like, as long as like for my projects and stuff, like realizing that feedback is actually the fact that this person is saying something means that they're like putting themselves in a somewhat uncomfortable position to say it, which means that they actually care enough about what I'm working on to like say something in the first place. And I think that really helped me redefine like my vision on feedback.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, that is a choice of the client to give feedback because they have all the power to be like, all right, well, this isn't what we wanted. We're going to go find someone else. But to have them take the time to really give you that constructive feedback to guide you to what they want to see is a compliment, and it only really helps.
Yeah, totally. So I read that for the Cortez campaign photo shoot, the program created a 16-rig camera in order to create a unique boomerang-style shot for the campaign. So I have two questions on this. Not to confuse you, I'll just ask one after the other. So the first question would be, how important do you think experimentation and having an acceptance that there is a potential for failure, how important do you think that is to creating something that's never been done before?
I would say that in regards to the failure part, I don't think any of us really look at it as an option for failure. So let's say we did the 16 rig camera and it didn't work out. That's an opportunity for us to figure out something really fast on our toes that's going to be just as cool. So, I mean, there were definitely times in that process where we were like, oh my gosh, is this going to work? We've been here for hours. We're still setting up. It's getting dark. Like, what are we going to do? But it really just puts you into this almost adrenaline feel of, all right, if this doesn't work, we're going to figure out what we can do to make something that's going to be just as cool looking. So again, it's just kind of building on your skills to make sure that you never reach that point of failure. If it doesn't work, then you move to another option or you adjust what you're currently doing in order to still reach that final point.
Yeah, I think adaptability is super important, and I'm glad you touched on that because I honestly think that when you make a risky move like that, see, in my mind, I would have been like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? But I think not even having that as an option, like you just mentioned, makes you think like, oh, it has to work, and then you're just moving towards the next solution and having a plan B or a plan C. So I know you touched on this next question a bit based on like whether the client gives you a broad assessment of what they want or a more narrow assessment, but overall, do you feel like there's a lot of creative freedom when it comes to creating promotional materials for the different brands you work with?
I think it definitely depends on the brand. So I work with Nike, and Nike has a very set way that they like to present their marketing, whether it's imagery, advertisements, whatever it is. They have a very Nike way, as we like to say. And there are definitely times where we do have the ability to kind of push the limits, and we love those moments because not only does it show, like, okay, such a big company who is, they have their structure of how they like to do things, they're still willing to kind of open their eyes to a new perspective of how something could look. It also pushes us to want to push those boundaries and figure out, okay, me and my designer, we've been working with Nike for so long that we ourselves get stuck in, the Nike way. But we always like to remember that, okay, like, let's take ourselves out of Nike for a second. If we were coming in not knowing what we know, like, how would we approach this project? And it just kind of, it gives you this different perspective and helps you to see things that you wouldn't see before that could actually push the project farther. There are definitely other brands who are very, very open to art creative freedom. And those are always great moments because you really get to kind of, challenge yourself and put your own perspective on things, and the client will really, really love it, or they'll really hate it. But even if they hate it, it just gives you, again, another opportunity to try something new that you didn't think of before. So it definitely depends on the brand that you're working with. But, when you get kind of a scope of both extremes, it's just the perfect match.
Yeah, definitely. Because then you get to express yourself within that brand, and hopefully, as you said, like both of you benefit from that. To kind of touch on, we're talking a lot about, like, obviously what goes into your job, but how would you define the role that you've been given as a strategist in an advertising agency?
I would say, so as a strategist on our Nike team, a lot of my work revolves around creating concepts and working collaboratively with our designers, our developers, other strategists, tech teams, really our entire agency to bring Nike's brand initiatives to life through their digital platforms. So a lot of my job entails story ideation. Critically thinking through the consumer journey, whether it's creating a new identity, let's say for the Nike Air VaporMax, which we did last summer, or figuring out how a high heat shoe will launch and live in the marketplace for months after the launch date. So it definitely varies from day to day what I do, but a lot of it really is about the consumer journey and how Nike's products and stories will live in the marketplace for its consumers.
Yeah, definitely. So, would you say it sounds like you're working very cross-functionally in your job? Is there any skills that you learned from working with such a dynamic team, like since you are working not just in the tech or just in the design sector?
Yes, definitely. I work very closely with our designers, so it's been an experience to learn. I'll still say I'm a beginner in Photoshop, but I'm farther than I was before.
That's good.
Yes, but just kind of working closely with them, I now notice things that I would have never noticed before. So even just in my daily life, I'll look at a billboard or I'll look at a logo and I'll say, like, oh gosh, that's not centered, or I wonder what it would look like if they tried this instead. And I would have never had that perspective had I not worked with my designers. I've worked on some projects where it was very dev heavy, so a lot of technicalities, coding, a lot of website development, and I've definitely learned a lot from that because I really didn't have a lot of experience going into that core like that. So really just being able to talk to our developers and our tech team has really been a great learning experience. And it's the same with our production team. I get to direct photo shoots. I get to help, decide what selects are best. So it's really just all encompassing. And that's really great about working at an agency like ours is that, we all have titles, but at the end of the day, it's really whatever you put your mind to is your title for that day. So I could be a designer for the day, or you know, I could be probably not a developer, but I could at least assist them in some way. So it's just a really great experience to be exposed to so many different functions.
Yeah, totally. And that's actually leading into my next question. I guess you went over like one benefit to working at an agency versus in-house, but what would you say are some like major differences between the two?
Oh man, there's a lot. So I would say the biggest difference is that on the agency side, that's really where you get to express a lot of your creativity. While on the in-house side, it's really a lot of potential for growth, learning how agency and in-house relationships work. Also, just size is a big difference as well. So my agency is around 30 people versus working, you know, let's say at Nike, which is thousands of people. So it really just depends on kind of what you're looking for in a work environment. What's really interesting for me is I always had a dream that I would work at Nike forever. Like, that was just what I put all of my energy towards. I just wanted to work at Nike. I wanted to create cool stuff. I wanted to create these beautiful ads that you see. And when I realized that that potentially wasn't going to be a reality for me, and I was exposed to what agencies provide, it was really eye-opening. You know, I never thought that I would be sitting here creating a story for the colorway of a shoe that's going to come out in a week. I never thought I'd be sitting in on a photo shoot helping, you know, direct what our models are going to be doing or what they're going to wear, picking out scenes, everything like that. So you really get a more hands-on experience in terms of creative on the agency side, but it's also really nice on the client side to be able to guide your agency to create your vision.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah, I think that it's awesome how you get to just have such a wide range of experiences. So I guess for most people listening to this podcast, they won't be as probably as far along as you are in your career yet. So I guess like we kind of touched on like your retail experience and then getting to actually see how the product was made, which obviously helped you get a better understanding from a strategy point of view. But things like directing photo shoots, working with the tech team, if you knew what you knew now, maybe 5 years ago or while you were in college, what are some things that you would pick up to kind of help you become a strategist later on down the road?
That's an interesting question. So when I was in school, we didn't have any classes that, you know, were based on strategy in our marketing. I went to Gonzaga University up in Spokane. Mm-hmm. And I just took basic marketing classes. So I really didn't even know that strategy was a career at that time. All I knew is I wanted to work in marketing, most likely social media at Nike. So I think just looking back throughout my college career, throughout the couple years, post graduating when I was at the employee store, and I had such a narrow focus on making it to Nike headquarters that mm-hmm. I probably missed out on some pretty amazing opportunities, because I just didn't open my eyes to them and I didn't care to learn about them. So looking back, I would tell myself like, hey, and I know that people told me this all the time, but I was too stubborn to listen. I would tell myself like, you know, reach out beyond the swoosh. There's a lot out there that could really help catapult your career into the direction that you want to go. I know a lot of people will go from agency to the client side, and it's a great transition because you really get to learn what it's like from an agency perspective and bringing that into the client side, which really helps that relationship. So I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I wish I had known back then, or at least I wish I had been open to learning back then, was just, you know, yes, you have a career dream, but maybe the direction that you think is the right one isn't necessarily the actual right one for you. You know, everyone has a destination, but whatever route you take is still going to get you to that end point, and you should be open to turning left if the navigation says turn right. As cheesy as that sounds.
No, I like it. I like it. Yeah, for someone like me who's like pretty early, or I'm about to start my career, so this is really good advice. And I think that, I mean, it speaks to your determination to obviously like want one goal and like to work towards that goal. So it's not like a bad thing, but I can definitely relate on the stubbornness part, just because like you just get caught up in like wanting something so badly and just working towards that, that it's hard to see everything around you.
Yeah.
So to kind of touch on more of like the photo shoots and like creative direction aspect, what made you feel more comfortable in those settings? Because I know you're pretty young, right? How old are you?
Yeah, 27.
27? Okay. Well, being like a younger person on a set and like basically directing everyone else, I'm sure it can be intimidating. Was that something that just came with time in practice, or did you like study on how to do that?
It definitely came with time and watching others. So that's where, again, working with different people within your workplace really comes in handy. So we have a great production team at the program. We have some really, really talented people. And on my first photo shoot, I was really there to help create the content strategy. So I helped direct our then director on what we really envisioned these images and these videos to look like. So in that case, during the photo shoot, I was more of a viewer. So I would sit back and watch him. And if there was something that I thought of that I think would look cool, then I would share it. But I wouldn't necessarily say like, okay, model, like put your hand here, make sure the shoe is pointed this way. I wasn't quite there yet. So really, as I progressed from each photo shoot, you learn so much more about what really creates a quality shot. So when I went to Miami 2 weeks ago to direct my first photo shoot on my own, I really had a lot of experience from those around me that helped guide me to create what we were able to capture. Granted, this was a much smaller photo shoot, which was good because it was my first time, you know, directing this on my own, working with one photographer, a videographer, and some models. So it wasn't necessarily as large scale as it could be, but it was a very good first step to be able to get to those larger photo shoots at some point. It is intimidating. I was nervous, but it came out okay. So,
yeah, even for my Instagram, at Flex with Food, if anyone wants to follow who's listening, I try to do a photo shoot. It was my first photo shoot. I got like two photographers and a videographer and a model together. I was like so excited. And then I just realized, like, thankfully the girl had modeled before, so she was like pretty comfortable, but she was just kind of like running out of poses. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I should have been on Instagram like looking for poses. And it's totally like a learn as you go kind of thing, because I think that you don't really know what people need until like you're in that situation where they're like asking like, oh, what should I do, or things like that. So it's good to hear your experience.
Yeah, likely you're not going to be the most nervous one on set is what I always remind myself.
So. I probably would be, honestly. I think that with our generation, the internet has clearly been a big part of our lives. And I think that there's like this kind of shift in the dynamic of how people view college in a way because of the internet and because there's so much information so readily accessible. Do you feel like your college experience helped you get to the point where you are? Do you feel like those 4 years were really foundational to ultimately becoming a strategist at the program?
I would say that in terms of my college experience and how it helped me to where I am now, I would say that most of my experience has been from outside of the classroom. Mm-hmm. But what was most beneficial for me in terms of my education was doing the marketing projects where, you know, you go to, I don't know if you guys did this, but we would go to local businesses around Spokane and create mock marketing strategies for them. So at that time, it was really all about Squarespace, and Snapchat was kind of new still. So we really utilized social media at that time. And I know that because that's still really strong today, that was very beneficial in terms of me introducing myself to using social media as a marketing platform. But I would say in terms of strategy, really a lot of what I learned was after college in the jobs that I took. So, you know, like going back to my retail, my consumer services experience, to my digital specialist experience, and just, you know, I've been very passionate about the brand for so long. That was really how I became such a strong strategist for Nike. Would I be as strong of a strategist for another brand? I don't know. I couldn't say. But just having that background knowledge already, working on a brand that I'm super passionate about, I know the brand voice. I know Nike's vision, you know, what they really stand for. And that has just really helped guide me throughout my career. Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
Okay.
That does help. I just think that for, like, people, like, first of all, I'm really excited that you came on because I think, like you mentioned, like, strategist is not even a position that gets advertised in a lot of these college programs, or, like, a lot of people just don't even know what it means to be a strategist. Like, lucky enough, I was able to meet a recruiter at a career fair, and she told me about, like, being a strategist, and I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'd want to be that one day. But I think unless you have someone to tell you what strategists do or what their job is about, like, it's pretty, you just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So, yeah, it was cool to hear your experience. So we've talked a lot about your career and your work. So I know outside of work, you customize sneakers. So how did you get into that?
Yeah, so when I was in college, well, to backtrack, I've been an artist my whole life. I was always that kid in class who had a set of crayons right there to start doodling as soon as the teacher started talking. And I started getting into sneakers in like 2001. And then flash forward to college, one of my friends in college had asked if I could draw her back tattoo on a pair of all white Nike Dunks. And I had never thought about putting my own two passions together, that being art and sneakers. So I took a packet of Sharpies and started drawing on the shoe. And looking back at it now, it looks pretty atrocious. But at the time, I thought it looked great. But I just thought, wow, like, this is really cool. I want to do a pair for myself. So I started to do a couple pairs and started to really research this art form that I had no idea. There was this whole community of people who are customizers, and people create paints for this. People have YouTube videos on how to do this. You know, I just was open to this entire community that does what I do and are as passionate about it as I am. So just throughout the years, I started to learn new techniques. A lot of it, too, for me, was learning on the fly. I remember one of my most challenging times when I was learning, I painted a pair of Jordan 11s, which are made out of patent leather. Mm-hmm. And this was when I was first starting out. I just used regular acrylic paint and painted them golden black. And I thought, wow, these are so cool. I'm going to walk on campus with these, you know, everyone at Nike is going to be like, oh my gosh, those are so cool. So I'm walking to a meeting to network with somebody, and about 3 minutes into my walk, I look down and my shoes are cracking and the paint is peeling up off the shoes, and I'm freaking out because my meeting hasn't even started yet. And
oh God.
Yeah. So, and of course I'm on Nike's world headquarters where everybody looks at your shoes before they even look at your face. So, you know, I was a little mortified, but I got through it okay. I don't think the person who I met with noticed the shoes, but it was a learning experience for me. And yeah, just little things like that, you start to learn and grow. And yeah, I've just been putting out some cool art that people love and have gained a following, and it's awesome. I'm still really passionate about it. It's definitely hard to balance with work and doing this hobby on the side as well. I think a lot of people who follow me on Instagram believe that customs is my career. So it's fun to tell them, like, hey, this is a hobby that I love. It's not my main career. And then you get to, talk to them about what you actually do. So I just love it in that there's a community out there. I've made, I don't know if I would necessarily say friends, but I've gotten very familiar with people across the nation who do the same thing, and we can discuss, different trends going on in the custom world. And, if we see someone that does something really cool, we all talk about it. So it's just a really awesome group of people to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so cool. And it's crazy how connected we can be on social media. And once you realize, I think once you, ever since I started like doing more of my projects and everything, I realized like how much of a community within those projects there is. And it's really exciting when you start using social media and like actually talking to people. And I don't know, I can relate definitely. So why don't you plug in your, do you want to plug your Instagram so people can follow you?
Sure. So if you go to Instagram, it's at Liz Miller Customs, spelled like it sounds, LizMillerCustoms. And you'll see some of my artwork, and some other pictures as well. So give me a follow, reach out. I love to engage with my followers, let you guys know I'm a real human being, and yeah.
I love it. Wait, last question. We can't finish up this interview without asking, what is your favorite Nike shoe silhouette?
The Air Jordan 13, and that is because, along with art and shoes, I've always been really passionate about animals my whole life, and that shoe is inspired by cats. So it's just really cool to see the story behind that shoe. On the side, there's a circle jewel emblem that is supposed to replicate a cat eye. The sole of the shoe is formed like a paw, so it's got little pods on it. So it's just really cool to see that someone else was inspired by something that I find really passionate about. That's my
Yeah.
favorite.
Yeah, totally. I can definitely relate with that. Well, I actually didn't. That's surprising because I feel like so many people say that Jordan 1s are their favorite. So it's cool to hear something different and that the 13 is your favorite. My favorite are Air Max 95s. I love that silhouette. I think that it's beautiful and it
That's a
makes the
great one.
collar.
Yes. Those things are definitely like heels.
Yeah, except way more comfortable.
Yes.
So, thank you so much for coming on, Liz. I think that for a lot of people, you probably opened a door into a career that they didn't even know exist. So, I think that this was really helpful, and I'm sure that my audience will take a lot of value from everything that you touched on. So, thank you again.
Yeah, no problem. And if anyone hearing this has any questions about strategy, or any more questions on my career path, or just want to reach out, feel free. You can find me on LinkedIn and just send me a message.
Well, that wraps up another episode in the Work in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, please leave a review. It's a big help. If you didn't, please tell me why. I'm super open to feedback, and I'm really looking to just make this project the best it can be. In the show notes, you'll see that I started an email list. This email list is for anyone who wants to stay up to date on when I release the next episodes, as well as receive exclusive content. I want to give a quick shout out to Liz for being so open about her journey and educating young creatives like myself. It was really cool for her to take the time out of her day to be on this, and always much appreciated. Another thing I want to highlight real quick, this podcast has grown a lot in the past 2 weeks, mostly due to the fact that I was a guest on my friend Brandon Marquez's podcast, The Two Americans. I'll link that interview below too. be sure to check it out if you want to hear my take on social media and a bunch of different topics. So yeah, guys, have a good one. Please subscribe and tell your friends about Work in Progress. Thanks.